Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Protect your family's future with life cover from Zurich. Talk to a financial broker to find out more.
Tweet at Drive Time RTÉ.
Now, amidst the Windsor framework opposition and the Partygate inquiry, there is never a dull moment in Westminster. Really serious, solemn issues, but an early day motion was also tabled to honour country singer Dolly Parton and one iconic track 50 years later.
And so I'll go, and yet I know that I think of you each step of my way. And I...
Well, this is going to be one of the stranger political interviews I've ever done. DUP... MB for Strangford in Northern Ireland, Jim Shannon, you're very welcome.
Very nice to hear your voice, Cormac, for the first time. Yeah.
Well, it's lovely to talk to you.
You're playing our favourite song, well done.
Yeah, exactly. What's the story with your motion to celebrate Dolly Parton, Jim?
Well, I suppose, for a start, both my wife and I think that Dolly Parton's just smashing, you know. We think she's a great singer. Of course, she is a great singer. Everybody knows she's a great singer.
Yeah.
She's got that ability and that voice that carries. I suppose, really, I think it's the sentiment of the song as well, because it probably reminds us all. I've been married, if God spares me, in June for 36 years. My parents were married for almost 61 years. My wife's parents were married for 60 years. So we believe in a long time marriage. So yeah. I suppose to me, Dolly has sort of said that in her song, and for us, wow, I just and she also lifts you up.
So it hits a chord.
Gives you a lift.
So your
yeah.
poor wife has been putting up with you for 36 years. Is that right, Joe? No, tell me.
She's been challenged.
Tell me this before we move on to more serious. But what do you want to do? You want who and to celebrate her and how?
Well, I suppose what the early day motions at Westminster are probably methods to record probably a group from back home that is like the, for instance, the Girl Guides Brigade in Ballywalter had a 50th anniversary. It's the 20th anniversary of the Iraqi War. But for me, that song, I Will Always Love You, is probably a song that lifts you, takes you to a place where you want to be, and also for the stresses of life that we have here at Westminster. And the interesting thing about it is, Cormac, this morning, 33 other MPs had signed it, and 19 ladies and 14 men. So it tells me that, and they've all told me this as well, they said, Jim, that's my favourite song. They said, yeah. I love her voice, you know.
I think you could...
we all love her. Yeah.
I tell you, you could run on a Dolly Parton ticket down here, Jim, if it goes astray in you in Westminster. I was looking for a Dolly Parton lyric that you could sing to Chris Heaton Harris, right? And I came across one. You're going to be sorry for all the dirty deals you've handed me. How's that for a line and a segue to the storm and break that you voted against in Westminster yesterday
and
the Windsor framework, which was passed in Westminster yesterday? Where does that leave us now, Jim?
Well, I suppose at the end of the day, we had hoped what we were trying to be respectful in relation to giving the Prime Minister and Chris Heaton Harris and James Clever the opportunity to come back to us with the reassurances that we were seeking in relation to the Windsor framework, or as we as unionists refer it to as the Windsor knot. And we are concerned about it, but we did feel that we should wait to get our legal opinion. Our legal opinion has come back. Our legal opinion is clear that the storm and break is unfortunately no more than a platitude of words. It's not just our opinion, of course. It's the opinion of other political parties. It's the opinion of the ERG. These are all different opinions. It's the opinions of the Orange Order and the community groups back home as well. So we all have that concern, joint concern from different voices in relation to the storm and break.
But
that it doesn't.
Unfortunately for the DUP and the ERG, it was passed, wasn't it, in Westminster? So does that mean now that you accept the democratic will, Jim, and you re-enter Stormont? Or where do we go from here in terms of devolution?
I think to be fair, what we've done and what we've had, there's a number of things that are outstanding. We've made some of these things, and I think we've made them all to the Prime Minister aware of it. It's the veterinary medicines. It's the movement of cattle from my constituency in Strangford across to Stirling, across to Carlisle markets. It's the issues for the fishermen, and there's a myriad of outstanding issues. It's the issue of the constitution. Position of Northern Ireland in relation to the United Kingdom of Great Britain. It's the European Court of Justice. All these issues we've sought, and the Prime Minister told us that he would look at these issues. But what we need is that legally binding guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
But
they're saying no renegotiation. They're saying no renegotiation here.
Well, the Prime Minister has told us that he is respectful and will take our points in view, and he will address the issues, the outstanding issues. So what we're doing, we're going to test him on that. I think we do have to say this. While we are devolutionists and would wish to see the Stormont Assembly up and running, at this moment in time, there isn't that legally binding guarantee that we see within the Windsor framework, mm-hmm. which Chris Heaton-Sauer says it is, but our legal opinion says it's not.
So what happens
until that's secured?
So, sorry to cut across you again. But what happens then if, let's say, you try and push for your guarantees, but you don't get them, and you refuse to re-enter Stormont, and we end up with direct rule, and some unionist commentators are saying that direct rule, if it happens again, could happen with some voices from Belfast and Dublin having a say. Would you put up with that?
Well, I have to say that's not what we've been told. We've asked those questions. Chris Heaton-Harris has told us that there'd be no intention of Westminster under any circumstances given a role for the Republic government, for the to have any influence in the Northern Ireland Assembly or in the government of Northern Ireland. But I'm a great believer in solutions based, and we have put forward our suggestions, which we've asked. I asked yesterday, I met a number of ministers yesterday, spoke to them individually. I says, guys, we have to get something that satisfies our constitutional position. We have to get the answers to the outstanding issues
on the
framework.
What's the deadline?
That's something that we've asked for that. I understand that the ministers have told us and told me yesterday that they were intending to bring these matters to the attention of the cabinet next week and the week after. So it's working in motion. But let's be quite clear, we have a mandate that we got in May of last year. The unionist people are trusting us in this one, and we need to have a way forward. And if we take the thing to the next conclusion, Tony Blair, an architect of the peace process, said that we can't move forward without unionist participation, without their involvement. Bertie Ahern, your former minister from down south, he has also said the same thing. So I think
they also say unionists can't hold the situation to ransom here.
Well, Sinn Féin held it all to ransom for over 3 years, that doesn't really stack up. We're not saying we're going to do that for 3 years, by the way. I just want to say that right now.
Okay.
But I think that we have to have a response from government takes on board our legal concerns. Until that legal concerns are in place and legally binding, then I feel that we can't move forward.
We've drawn a line from Dolly Parton to Tony Blair and Bertie Ahern. I think it's one of the strangest conversations, Jim, I've ever had, but it's always it's a great pleasure to speak with you. DUP MP for Strangford in Northern Ireland, Jim Shannon. Thank you very much indeed.